On today's podcast, we will focus on creativity and innovation in governmental public health departments, a topic that is covered in the recently released 2017 Public Health Workforce Interests and Needs Survey, known as PHWINS. PHWINS is the only nationally representative source of data on individual governmental public health workers. It is a national survey of state and local public health agency employees that captures detailed demographics as well as worker perspectives on their environments, training needs, and emerging concepts in public health. One of the key aspects of a work environment that impacts worker engagement and satisfaction is creativity and innovation. In addition to publicly releasing findings at the national level, PHWINS also provides state and city-specific data to agencies to help them understand strengths, gaps, and opportunities to improve skills, training, and employee engagement. PHWINS is a partnership between the Beaumont Foundation, the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, and the National Association of County and City Health Officials, and the Big Cities Health Coalition. In this episode, you will hear from Rachel Locke, Program Associate at the Beaumont Foundation, and from Tiffany Brown, Director of Staff Training and Development in the Office of Human Resources at the South Carolina State Department of Health and Environmental Control, on the topic of creativity and innovation in governmental public health departments. Welcome, Rachel and Tiffany. And so for the both of you, why are creativity and innovation important topics for health departments to think about?
So I don't mind kicking us off again. Hello, this is Rachel. I'm from the Beaumont Foundation. And we have had a lot of fun thinking about creativity and innovation in the context of governmental public health. So we know that creativity and innovation are common topics for many other sectors, especially for business and in entrepreneurship. They're routinely written about in magazines like Forbes and in the Harvard Business Review, and are recognized as being increasingly critical traits of a successful organization, integral to maintaining and sustaining new product lines, ideas, and services. It's also been shown in research that 83% of people agree that unlocking creative potential is a key to economic growth, and companies that can embrace creativity can often outperform their peers and competitors on key business performance indicators like talent acquisition. So governmental public health agency practice today is facing a lot of new emerging health challenges. And while the state and local governmental public health agencies are not necessarily market forces in the same sense of the business sector, there's an increased importance on policy interventions to improve health, transitioning from dealing with communicable to chronic diseases, and an increased recognition of the link between community and individual health. And all of these are forcing governmental public health agencies to transform and evolve. Evolving public health frameworks like Public Health 3.0 are also encouraging the public health workforce to expand the scope and reach of public health to address factors that public health may not have addressed before, including working with our partners in economic development, education, transportation, food, environment, and housing, so all of the social determinants of health. And tackling problems that are co-founded with these sectors really do extend and require new solutions beyond traditional disease surveillance and monitoring that public health governmental agencies have done in the past. So if public health workers are not able to drive change with creative and innovative solutions, then we do have a serious problem. A business that is not innovative and that doesn't foster creativity generally does not survive very long. So governmental public health has the opportunity to address these new challenges, to improve functioning and improve workplace environment characteristics by fostering creativity and innovation. Whether it's small adaptive changes or major breakthroughs, the workforce really needs to be given the space to be creative and innovative, to generate these new ideas, to solve complex public health problems that extend beyond anything that we have faced before.
And Tiffany?
Just to add to that, DHEC, South Carolina DHEC, is a state regulatory agency charged with promoting the state's health and the quality of its land, air, coastal resources, and water as authorized by the state and federal law. We are one of three hybrid health and environmental agencies in the state. Our agency's vision is healthy people living in healthy communities, and it is guided by our mission to improve the quality of life for all South Carolinians by protecting and promoting the health of the public and the environment. They're driven by our core values being embracing service, inspiring innovation, and promoting teamwork and pursuing excellence. Together, these provide the tools and the direction to better serve the citizens of our state. And we would be remiss in doing that if we did not pay close attention to our retention. And also creativity and innovation is a large part of what we do here at PHEC.
And Rachel, can you tell us a little bit more about PHWINS and how it relates to the topic of creativity in the governmental public health workforce?
So PHWINS is a national survey, and it's the largest survey of individual state and local public health agency workers. It's deployed through a partnership between the De Beaumont Foundation, the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, the National Association of County and City Health Officials, and the Big Cities Health Coalition. It captures perspectives on key issues such as worker engagement and morale, training needs, worker empowerment, and emerging trends in public health. It also collects data about the demographics of the public health workforce. PHWINS was fielded in 2014 and then again in 2017. So our newest release of the data and key statistics is from the 2017 survey. Since we now have data at two different time points, we can also make some interesting comparisons about the 2017 and 2014 data to look at workforce trends over this period of time. And information about the newest iteration of the survey can be found on phwins.org. So beyond illuminating the question of who is the public health workforce, the survey also shows encouraging and some cautionary statistics. So for example, there's a concerning trend about the intent to leave of governmental public health department workers. Nearly half the workforce is considering leaving their organization in the next 5 years, 22% because of retirement and 25% for other reasons. So that is a lot of institutional knowledge and workforce power that might be walking out the door. We also found that the top five reasons for leaving included inadequate pay, lack of opportunities for advancement, the workplace environment, job satisfaction, and a lack of support. On a more encouraging note, though, the public health workforce is very mission-driven. So 95% of respondents say they feel positively about the impact that they make every day in their work. And we also saw that there was not much empirical evidence so far about how rewarding creativity and innovation in governmental public health departments might be associated with organizational culture and workplace environments. So we decided to look specifically at this question in a paper titled Unleashing the Creativity and Innovation of Our Greatest Resource, the Governmental Public Health Workforce. And this paper is part of a larger supplement analyzing many aspects of the PHWINS data that was published recently by the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice, which is all open source and accessible online. And so what we found generally about creativity and innovation being rewarded was that less than half of workers, no matter if they worked in a local health department that was smaller or larger or at a state health agency, felt that creativity and innovation were rewarded. So while the statistic was a bit higher for executives, this is still an area that we feel could use a lot of improvement for health departments. We did, although, find some sort of bright spots for creativity and innovation. There were some health departments that, when we looked between 2014 and 2017, had increases in the percentage of their employees that felt that creativity and innovation were rewarded. And South Carolina was one of these. They actually had a 20% jump in employees who said that they did feel creativity and innovation were rewarded between 2014 and 2017.
Tiffany, does any of this surprise you? And do you see any of this playing out at your work at the South Carolina DHEC?
No, this doesn't surprise me. It does play out in the work that we do here at DHEC. We do employee engagement surveys, and employee engagement surveys sort of replicate exactly what Rachel was talking about in PHWINS findings. We had a TERRY program that ended, and if you're not familiar about the TERRY program was where after a person retired for 5 years, they could continue to work in this critical needed position at a state health agency. It was originally designed for teachers retiring from the workforce and being unable to fill those teaching positions. It later segued into most of the state government. That TERRY program ended, and with that TERRY program ending, it left a large hole in the educational and experience employee background for our DHEC employees. And one of the things that we found and we decided to incorporate was the Leadership Excellence and Achievement Program. The overall goal of LEAP is to develop future leaders while accomplishing cross-cutting strategies, initiatives. LEAP will address multiple topics, but special emphasis will be placed on creativity and innovation, change management, and financial management. And what it does is it incorporates all the elements of who we are, our vision and mission and our core values to create a 12-month leadership program aimed at grooming high potential and high performing employees. This program was created to aid in reinforce succession planning, workforce development, and developing leaders within the agency. All that is also to promote our core values and to aid in promoting creativity and innovation.
And so, Rachel, you mentioned before about the PHWINS, the supplement being released with the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice. Can you talk about that a little and specifically about interesting findings from those papers?
Yeah, definitely. So all of the findings are really interesting to me, but I will just touch on a few here and let anyone who's interested go more deeply into the data and tables online. So overarchingly, as I mentioned, less than half of the workforce right now feels that creativity and innovation are rewarded in their health departments. And when we looked at them, the relationship between creativity and innovation being rewarded and different workplace environment factors, there were some really interesting results. So those who felt that creativity and innovation were rewarded had a higher odds that they also felt satisfied with their job, satisfied with their organization, and satisfied with their pay. They also had a lower odds of considering leaving their organization, so intent to leave. And these were not small numbers either that we found. All of these were statistically significant. And for example, both for pay satisfaction and organizational satisfaction, those who felt that creativity and innovation were rewarded had almost twice the odds of being satisfied with their pay and organization compared to those who didn't feel that creativity and innovation were being rewarded. And also, given that pay satisfaction and job satisfaction are two of the top reasons people intend to leave the governmental public health workforce, it bears to mind improving creativity and innovation might actually be able to have a big impact on these numbers, on this intent to leave, and could potentially encourage more workers to stay. Pay satisfaction itself is also worth special consideration, we felt, because being unsatisfied with your pay has actually been previously documented in the public health workforce in our previous PHWINS survey, and this persisted into 2017. So less than half of people who responded in 2017 of the workforce were satisfied with their pay. Again, kind of a big number. However, when we looked at the intersection of pay satisfaction and creativity and innovation, in the group of people who felt that creativity and innovation were rewarded, about two-thirds of those people were satisfied with their pay. So thinking about two-thirds compared to half, that's a pretty big jump. And since we know that pay, particularly in the government sector, can be more challenging to navigate than in some other sectors who have a bit of flexibility, we think this, again, could greatly impact workplace satisfaction and recruitment if you're thinking about improving creativity and innovation in regards to pay satisfaction. And then additionally, PHWINS also looks at workplace environmental factors like supervisory support and organizational support. And so for supervisory support, this encompasses questions that we ask of the workforce about if they feel them and their supervisors have a good relationship, if they're provided with opportunities to grow and develop, if they're treated with respect, and some additional questions. And then for organizational support, we ask employees if they think their organization is a good place to work, if their workload is reasonable, and if their trainees are assessed, as just a couple examples. And so again, here we found that those who did believe that creativity and innovation were rewarded felt they had more supervisory support and organizational support, and that these sort of individual measures that I mentioned that make up those larger support constructs, those are routinely 20 to 40% more positive for, again, those that did feel that creativity and innovation were rewarded compared to those that did not. So there's really a very interconnected and potentially powerful driver here that we're looking at in terms of creativity and innovation and improving workplace environment factors. One sort of limitation that I will note in the study is that when we ask people the question in the survey, we do not necessarily provide a definition or examples of creativity and innovation. So these words are really up to the survey taker's interpretation. So we think people interpret them the same way we do, but we haven't really explored this. And we know that there can be probably many different definitions of creativity and innovation, and that those two concepts are different, but interrelated. So that's one thing that we did note in the survey, but overall the results were really interesting and pointed to some potential implications for public health agencies and practice going forward.
So, of course, now we have the data in. So now we need to move on to action. And so I'm going to pose this question to you, Tiffany. What tools do you think are important for health departments to do a better job of fostering this creativity and innovation?
One of the things that we did is we, like I said, incorporated it into our core values. And one of our core values is inspiring innovation. And at DTEC, we define inspiring innovation as we encourage and empower our teams to find creative solutions to promote and protect the health of the public and the environment. And we do this in a lot of different ways, but I want to highlight three ways that we do this. We have what's called the Director's Award, and the Director's Award was established in 2015. It is DHEC's most prestigious employee award and is presented annually to a team member or a team who exemplify the agency's core values of embracing service, inspiring innovation, and promoting teamwork. And this year was a person from the public health department. And like I said, we do have public health and environmental together. And what happened, he was the chief of the WIC team. And what he found was that our clients could not get to our health departments, because we live in South Carolina, which is very rural, and they could not get to their appointments because they did not have transportation. And what he did was he started South Carolina's WIC services on wheels, and it removes the transportation barriers for participants by using upfitted transport vans to take benefits to participants. He also made an arrangement with WICHealth.org, which allows participants to take web-based nutrition education courses, which also addresses transportation issues and clinic wait times. Another awardee of the Director's Award, which includes inspiring innovation and creativity, was one of our leaders, and he works with DHEC's Ocean and Coastal Resource Management. And what they did was he expedited the transition of critical area permitting from DHEC's Environmental Facility Information Database to our new e-permitting system. So the Director's Award is one of the ways that DHEC employees inspire and promote creativity and innovation. The second thing that we do, we have what's called LEAP Ambassadors. LEAP ambassadors are selected to represent the agencies as a part of the agency's effort to spotlight DHEC employees who embody our core values. They are nominated by their counterparts, their coworkers, and their supervisors. And this is also a part of our promoting creativity and innovation. And lastly, the group project as a part of our LEAP graduation program. Each group, there will be four groups, and each group is tasked with developing a creative and innovative concept through collaboration with each other to address a problem that we have here at DHEC. And it is a major part of the LEAP process. So these are just three of the ways that we put creativity and innovation into action.
Thank you, Tiffany. And so what about you, Rachel? What tools do you think are important for fostering that creativity and innovation?
Sure. So I think, firstly, using some of the PHWinds data, we can continue to look at these sort of bright spots that we see, like the South Carolina examples, where there have been different programs and practices that have been put into place that really do support creativity and innovation. These ideas can be studied and though potentially replicated and best practices taken to other health departments. So we know that also since workplace cultures that promote creativity and innovation can be a key retention strategy, as Tiffany mentioned, especially for agencies with less flexibility like government to offer other extrinsic rewards like pay, this is really a crucial issue for health departments to take up. And I would also say we probably need to borrow a lot from other sectors who are currently doing this work well. Government and bureaucracies can often be characterized by sort of command and control environments, and we really need to try and shift this so that there can be an environment where employees are thinking about how they can be motivated to take appropriate risks, embrace new ideas, problem solve, and share across their organizations. And I would also say that we know that many big companies and businesses today are setting aside time for their workers for innovation and learning. And Tiffany's example of the LEAP program and the employees really taking the time to delve into a project at the health department and figure out a creative solution is really a great example for that. And then there's a lot of sort of other research that we might be able to look to out there and figure out how it can work with the health department context. One meta-analysis that we recently looked at on predictors of innovation at work found that things like shared goals, a tolerance for risk, openness to new ideas, and cohesive teams were really important to contributing to an innovative culture. So I definitely would say we don't necessarily have a set roadmap forward here, but we're eager and curious to learn about how different governmental public health departments are working on creativity and innovation, and then to really use their examples to develop tools and practical steps that can be implemented across the nation. So, you know, if there's anything that any listeners would like to share with us at any point, please find the DeBalmont Foundation or the PH Win staff, you know, online, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, because we definitely want to hear which examples are happening on the ground and how we can help you all support bringing creativity and innovation to governmental public health.
All right. Thank you so much. I want to give a huge thanks to Rachel Locke from the Beaumont Foundation and Tiffany Brown from South Carolina DHEC. Thank you, ladies, both for joining the show today. And I commend both of you on your efforts to propel the public health field by ushering in this realm of creativity and innovation for those who are already there in the governmental public health workforce and those who will be making up the governmental public health workforce in the future. For our listeners, data from the 2017 Public Health Workforce Interest and Needs Survey can be found at debeaumont.org/phwins. In addition, to read about everything that the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control is doing, check out scdhec.gov. This podcast and others can be accessed on the journal's companion site, jphmpdirect.com. An online community for advances in public health. In addition, check out new journal issues and the supplement on the 2017 PH Wins data at lww.journals.com/JPHMP.